Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Friends Like These department here at Car Talk Plaza. I have no idea what that means.
Well, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Are you tired of all those mushy friendship poems that always sound good but never actually come close to reality? Well, here is a friendship poem that really speaks to the true friendship and truth itself. This is from Leonard Gilbert from Cyberspace. And I had to clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
Friend, when you are sad, I will get you drunk and help you plot revenge against that sorry SOB who made you sad. When you are blue, I'll try to dislodge whatever is stuck in your throat. When you are worried, I will tell you horrible stories about how much worse it could be and that you should quit whining. When you are sick, stay away from me until you're well again. I don't want what you have. I pledge this to you. Why? Because you are my friend. And I know that wasn't all that great, but the P.S. is worth it. P.S. A friend will help you move. A really good friend will help you move a body.
That's true.
That is true. That's the test.
Well, if you
Uncle Nunzio is a good friend.
Indeed. Always ready.
Always ready.
Well, if you need help moving something, we'll give you Doug Berman's home number. But if you have a question about your car, call this number, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Chris from Northfield, Vermont.
Chris from Northfield.
Yeah.
So you're from Vermont?
Yes.
What part?
Central Vermont, right below Montpelier.
That's the capital, you know.
It is. That's what they tell me.
I was there once. It's a cute little town.
Good experience?
Yeah. There was a nice little coffee shop, and that's all it took for me. I'm easy to please. What's up?
Well, I got several problems with my car, but I think I'm going to start with the oldest problem that I've had for like 3.5 years.
Hmm.
And what the problem is when I go from just a highway to highway, and I have to get on an on-ramp that does more than a 270-degree turn, as I'm going around my turn, the car will start to sputter a bit. And then when I hit the straightaway and I hit the gas, all this bluish-whitish smoke starts spewing out of my exhaust. And then the power of my car kind of cuts down for a little bit.
I'm going to guess that your car is 18 years old.
It is a 1990 Subaru Loyal wagon.
So you make is it making a difference if it's a right-hand turn?
You know what? I was thinking about that the other day because someone asked me that exact question, and I think it's when I'm making the right turn.
You mean in 3 years you haven't narrowed it down?
Well, there aren't very many lefties to do in which you do this.
Right.
So it sputters.
It sputters and the engine starts pinging or whatever, and then I start losing the power.
And then when you get around the turn and you floor it to get up to speed,
exactly,
ugly things come out the tailpipe.
Yes, they do.
Are they black, these things?
I would think it's a kind of a grayish, bluish, whitish smoke.
Yeah, jeez. All right, I'm going to guess that it doesn't do it unless it's a right-hand turn.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is wrong with it, you're going to like this, Tommy.
Get the bogus tape ready.
You got the tape ready, Dad?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just hear a little preview of it so I won't be shocked.
Oh, gosh.
All right. This engine in this car is what's called a horizontally opposed engine. Unlike most cars, which have the pistons going up and down, these pistons move...
They're flat.
...parallel to the ground.
Huh.
And what I think is happening, when you make a turn, centrifugal force is forcing oil...
Get ready, Ted.
To collect in one of the valve covers.
Uh-huh.
And that oil is then being sucked in by a... Because you
seal.
A worn valve guide. A seal gone bad.
Seal gone bad.
And that's why you get the blue tinge smoke. You get the rough running. And then after a while, See, what happens, I think, is the oil is being thrown there by the centrifugal force and doesn't get a chance to get to drain back down into the crankcase. Uh-huh. And enough of it collects so that it gets sucked in through the valve guide. And it makes the thing run rough.
Man, I have to say, that's brilliant.
I mean, isn't it?
There is nothing bogus about that.
Now, am I doing any permanent damage to my car, or can I ignore it for another 3.5 years?
I would ignore it.
I would.
Has it gotten any worse in the?
No, it hasn't.
Is it worse if you try to go faster?
Yeah.
Ah, I love it.
My brother has outdone himself. This is brilliant. And what's nice about it is there's nothing you have to do about it. Forget about it.
That's perfect. I can do that. I've done that.
You have forgotten about it, so we have done nothing to change your life. And that's how it should be.
See you, Chris.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks Good for luck. Your call.
Bye. That was brilliant, Frank. Brilliant.
Huh? Talking to me?
It could only happen in a Subaru or a Volkswagen or a Porsche.
Yeah.
Or a Corvair.
Yeah, that's where I first saw it. 1-888 last week. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joe from Boise.
How you doing, Joe?
Jeez, we haven't had a call from Boise in months.
Really?
David's saying last week we had one. Oh, all right, we haven't had one in a week. What's going on, Joe?
I have a 1990 Dodge Colt that my daughter drives, and it pops out of fourth gear when you're going along.
Oh, man.
And my buddy says the whole transmission's gone. And I say I just need to replace the clutch.
Well, he's more right than you.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Wait, is this a 90? Is this a 4-speed or a 5?
4-speed.
It's a 4-speed. This is an Avista. This is just a plain old garden variety Colt.
Yeah.
I think this car cost $88.88 when it, and that was $88.88.
It was less.
Yeah. Same now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I mean, this is one of those things that
I don't mind it popping out of fourth gear because I'm not sure my daughter should be driving in fourth gear. But
oh, she's a teenager?
Yeah.
if it's your daughter's car, I'm not going to suggest anything crazy.
Yeah, he was going to suggest
bungee cords were involved.
The 2x4 wedged between, because fourth is down and to the right. He was going
to
suggest
the
2x4 wedged between the radio and the gear shift lever.
No. Yeah. This was the bungee cord attached to the bottom of the seat. You can just see it. It's poetry. You know, it's just right.
Well, it's popping out of fourth gear not because of the clutch, but because there's something wrong inside the transmission. Okay, and the synchronizer for fourth is gone, and that's actually popping it out. Okay, now you can live with it, obviously, but you know, if you have a young person driving the car, it's bad enough that they're unsure about everything else that's going on. You don't want her to have to contend with wedging the 2x4 in there too.
Yeah. She's driving my wife's car now. So
and you're good. Driving the Colt?
Yeah.
Well, lucky you.
All right, the 2x4 has to be 18 and a half inches long then. You know, but see, you and your buddy have some experience working on cars?
Yeah, we mucked around with this particular car.
I'm going to suggest that you go to your local junkyard and you try to find a used transmission.
Oh, okay.
And you and your buddy can put this thing up on jack stands.
In the front yard, of course.
Of course. You never do it in the back. You always do it in the front where the neighbors can come by and kibitz.
Right.
No. Where they can see when the car falls on top of you.
Yeah.
You don't want to be buried in the trees in the back.
That's true.
When, when I say buried, I mean buried.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But jack this thing up, throw some stands underneath it, and then you have to pull out the two axles. Remove the shifter linkage, take out the starter motor, and you're going to pull the whole transmission out. And if you buy a clutch, you might as well put a clutch in at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But assuming that you find the transmission, do that. Otherwise, don't waste your time because it ain't the clutch that's doing it.
All right.
But if you're going to put a transmission in, you might as well put a clutch in. It's ready.
You cost me an adult beverage now.
I know. I'm sorry.
An adult beverage.
See you, Joe.
Good luck, Joe.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call.
I knew we were going to like him. What is it about guys named Joe?
Just ordinary Joes.
Just ordinary Joes. Man.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Martha from West Virginia.
Hi, Martha.
Hi, Martha.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Any place in particular in West Virginia?
No, just somewhere in West Virginia.
Oh, I'm sure there's a reason for that, eh?
There may be. I have one of those moral ethical dilemmas.
It might
that
not
you're
even
so
be West Virginia.
It might
be Washington, D.C.
It might be the state of Washington.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Martha. We'll listen.
Well, here's the scoop. About a little over five months ago, my husband and I bought...
I knew it involved your husband.
A van from a local dealer.
Uh-huh.
And it's a wonderful van.
Brand new?
Used. And we, you know, made all the arrangements. We received the title in the mail. We've never received a bill.
What, he gave you the car without paying anything?
Nothing. Well, we made the arrangements through a credit
before
union.
Before we go one step farther, where is this dealership?
I see now.
So this is the dilemma I'm having.
Tell us what kind of van it is.
And Martha's not your name, your real name.
That's probably true.
So your name isn't Martha. You certainly don't live in West Virginia. Or if you do, you're not divulging the what part of the state.
You bought a van. We don't know what kind. We don't know how old it was. How much money is involved? You can tell us
about
that.
About $20,000.
Oh.
And how long ago did all this happen?
About 5.5 months ago.
Five and a half months?
So you have plates on it, obviously. You've been driving it.
And we have the title.
You have the title.
You have the title.
Yes.
Does West Virginia have a sales tax?
I don't. Oh.
Oh! West Virginia, my foot.
All right.
Is that called entrapment?
So what should I do?
Well, you should keep your voice off the radio for one thing.
What is the worst case scenario? What if if I never
the worst sell case the scenario is you go and burn in hell. That's the worst case scenario.
Okay, so what's the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is you go. Here's the best case scenario. You go there and they say, a similar thing happened to my father. I'll tell you a little story. My dad called me one day and he said to me, did you buy me a $10,000 certificate of deposit? And I said,
me?
Excuse me?
Cheapo me?
and I said, no, I didn't. He said, I just got a letter from the bank that said that my $10,000 certificate of deposit was coming due and I ought to come in and either redeem it or roll it over. And he said, do you think Tom could have bought me one? After the two of us stopped laughing, which took about 25 minutes, we decided that it was a mistake, that in fact I hadn't bought him one. We know my cheapskate brother hadn't bought him one.
And our sister is roasting squirrels under a bridge.
So she didn't do it.
She didn't do it either.
So he went to the bank, honest guy that he is. Now, he could have just taken the money.
Right.
But he went there, and he said it took him the better part of an hour
to convince them
that it wasn't his money, that they had somehow made a mistake, and that while he could certainly use an extra 10 grand, he couldn't take it.
Really?
Oh.
My mother gave him a dope slap.
Okay.
But
you know what I here's what I do.
But here's the best case scenario, I think. Well, here, tell us what you'd do.
I would take it and trade it in for a new one.
I knew.
why should you be riding around in an old heap? Buy a brand new Honda.
God.
It's not a Honda.
No, you're going to come. Here's the best case scenario, that you go there with your hat in your hand.
Yeah.
I just noticed that I haven't been making my payments.
you can tell them the truth. Say, look, I thought my husband paid. He thought you can make up a story, certainly, that would be credible.
Yeah.
And then ask them what they would like you to do. Now, the chances are very good that they're going to ask you to pay for it.
Yeah.
Or they could say, you know what, Martha?
Forget it.
We're going to reward you for being... We
forget
already,
it.
Well, they don't even know this money's missing.
What is this, Hollywood? Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're going to give you a coffee and a donut and throw you out in your ear. Yeah, they might not believe you. They might say, you know what? We've gone through our records and we're not missing 20 grand.
And we're not missing a van.
And who are you anyway?
So I'll just walk out the door at that
and
point.
And if that's the case, I would walk out the door. I mean, you gave them two chances.
Okay.
No, I know, but you have to pay them, and you have to make every diligent effort to pay them.
Okay.
And if they absolutely refuse the money,
yeah,
then you have to send it to us.
because we have caller ID.
Oh, man.
And you're in deep doo-doo right now.
I'm hanging up.
too late.
Sadly, your name is.
You'll have to do the right thing, Martha. Yes. Otherwise, you burn in hell.
Forever. This is forever.
Yeah.
With a smile on my face. Okay.
Yeah, the van is only going to last about 5 years, but hell's forever.
Oh, there you go.
See ya, Martha.
Thanks very much.
Whoever you are.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Well, that's the first time that someone said, I'm from West Virginia, the whole state, and it's not even the state she lives in.
I know. And she couldn't even name one city in West Virginia.
And she had the right reason. I mean, I wouldn't give you my name or where I lived.
I can't believe that they actually let her drive off the
premises. Well, she evidently signed some loan thing.
Some point, someone's going to find this. This fell behind a desk.
Yeah.
This paperwork, and someone's going to be redoing an office, and they're going to find
Either
this
that.
Thing 22 years from now. She's going to owe them $695,000. I think she ought to go and pay up now.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for us to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler, which concerned L.R. Fugg, Ph.D.
Was he one of my professors?
No, she's one of your ex-wives.
Oh, she.
Actually, it's just a series of letters, L.R.F.U.G.P.H.D., and I'll refresh everyone's memory when we come back in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Baby blue, 63, hard top standard, 409. Custom leather, shiny chrome, and the triple tail lighter. Fast as a train, cruising like an ocean liner. Feeling like a god, wanna take you for a ride in my Chevy Impala. Chevy Impala.
And even though Ivan Pavlov reflexively rolls over in his grave to turn off the radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Dr. Fugg, Ph.D., I presume.
Yeah. This puzzler is from my back-to-school series. Now that all the kids are well ensconced back at school, I thought they'd be ready to solve this one. This is actually aimed at the average 8th grader.
That means it's over my head.
Yeah, 8th grade. Those were 3 tough years for you, weren't they, Tommy?
They certainly were.
Anyway, here's the puzzler. On a recent plane trip from D.C. to L.A., I decided that instead of pretending to work, I would recline my seat back, you know, the very generous 4.5 degrees they give you, and I'd fall asleep. Now, to aid in this endeavor, I started to read a copy of USA Today that I found in the lavatory. While I was reading, I came across an article that contained a rather long list of names. I studied the list a bit and determined, are you ready for this? That 16% of the names on that list shared a unique attribute.
Hmm.
In fact, if you took those names that I pulled out of the list, 8 names, 16% of the total names on the list, if you took the first letter from each name, these are the letters you'd get. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
L-R-F-U-G-P-H-D. The order doesn't matter for the puzzle, so if you want them in alphabetical order, they're D-F- G-H-L-P-R-U. So here's the question. What's unique about this list of 8 names I identified whose first letters happen to spell out the aforementioned L.R. Fugg, Ph.D.? So what's unique about these letters?
I don't know. Am I supposed to know? No.
Well, you know, I said there were 8 names from which these first letters were derived,
yeah.
Right? And they represented 16% of the total list.
Yeah.
Okay. So the total list must be 50 names.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this puzzle was just loaded with hints. The fact that I was reading USA Today,
yeah.
USA.
Yeah.
USA and 50. Any connection there?
State.
Exactly. And the letters that spell L.R. Fugg, Ph.D., are the only states that don't share their first letter with another state.
Oh.
Yeah, like L, Louisiana. R, Rhode Island. F, Florida. U, Utah. G, what, Georgia. P, Pennsylvania. H, Hawaii. And D, Delaware.
Hey, you're right. Very, very good.
Yeah, I thought so. Do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Lauren Goodall from Tracy, California. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Lauren is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get a set of Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Now, it should be noted, these are the same bags that we use to cover my brother's head when he goes out on a date.
Yeah.
And usually the date insists on wearing a bag, too, just in case my brother's bag falls off. That's why we sell them in sets of two.
Oh, is that why?
Anyway, congratulations, Lauren. And if your name's not Lauren, we have a brand new... I think this is a kind of a semi-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. And what I mean by that is I think it's within the grasp of the ordinary listener. You don't have to have any particular automotive skills.
Oh, I thought it had something to do with my car, which is a semi-automotive.
Yes, well, less than that. Anyway, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Maria calling from Stafford Springs, Connecticut.
Stafford Springs?
But yes. You don't hear the name Maria anymore.
No?
Where is Stafford Springs?
Stafford Springs is about 30 miles north of Hartford. We're actually right on the Massachusetts border.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's a little town.
Do you ever go into Hartford, that evil place?
The least amount of time that I spend in Hartford, the better.
Yeah. I mean, I've been bad-mouthing Hartford for ages, and no one ever complains. The mayor doesn't call.
It's got potential.
It doesn't. It's a pit.
Okay. Don't hold back, Tommy. Let's.
Jeez.
All right, Maria.
I'm sorry. I'm in the rant and rave mode lately. I don't know what's come over me.
Oh, jeez. Help, Maria.
Okay. I'm sorry, Maria.
Well, I'm calling you about my 1999 GMC Yukon, which I loved up until a few months ago when everything started going wrong with it. And because so many things have gone wrong with it, my husband has decided that anything that goes wrong from now on, he's going to try to attempt to fix because he thinks we're spending too much money and getting aggressive.
Good idea.
And he's going to spend a lot more money on the tools that it takes.
Well, considering that he's a carpenter and not a mechanic, so far it hasn't worked out very well.
Yeah, a hammer and a saw ain't going to do this.
Exactly.
You never know.
Yeah, so our latest problem has completely got him stumped, and it's got me scared to death. It's actually our brakes. Every time I hit the brakes, when I actually depress the pedal, it feels almost like a stutter under the pedal. That's the only way I can describe it. It's almost like it pulses underneath my foot.
And a hammer might fix this.
Anything at this point. But it doesn't stop when I want it to stop. It doesn't, right when you think it should stop, it keeps going. It probably hedges a few more feet. And it's like it's slipping.
Oh, so you don't feel this, for example, if you're stepping on the brake at 40 miles an hour, you don't feel this.
No.
You
it's
feel
only
this
when
going
I come
5 miles an hour or less.
Exactly, when I come to a stop. And it was happening only occasionally, and now it's happening every time I hit the brake. And so my husband, the carpenter, has changed the brake pads, and he looked at the rotors, which he thinks look fine, and now we're stumped because it's still doing it.
Well, interestingly, this is a problem we see all the time in Fords, but we don't see it.
Well, Ford might be making a Yukon.
They might be. Maybe they're making it for GM. I don't know, but I do believe I know what the problem is. And he's not going to fix it with a circular saw and a hammer, I don't think.
Okay.
No.
The problem is that you have a bad anti-lock brake sensor on one of the wheels. What?
ABS.
Oh.
What your vehicle has this system where a sensor is located at each wheel to read the speed of that wheel. One of your brakes, when you get down below 5 miles an hour, one of your brake sensors is sending a signal to the computer that says it is not moving, but in fact it is stopped. This is beyond him, I'm afraid.
Okay.
And the reason it's beyond him is...
But you can't lose anything whacking it with a hammer.
Well, you don't know what to whack, and it could be any one of the four wheels.
Well, if it was your TV set, what would you do? You don't know anything about TV, right, except what the stations are.
and I barely know that anymore.
Right. And if something didn't work, what would you do? You'd whack it with a hammer.
At least with my fist. You might try that. But he's not going to know which one of the sensors, and maybe more than one.
And there's nothing he could do about it anyway.
Now, is it costly?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But you need to take it someplace, and at the very least, have them hook it up to something called the scanner and determine for you which one of the sensors is bad. Then your husband can go ahead and buy it from the dealer and
he can put it in himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's not gonna fix this with the hammer.
Time to get professional help. Okay.
But he's gonna try, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Well, now see, I was reluctant to give him any information.
Yeah, because you know he's gonna hit it with a hammer.
Yeah, especially when he finds out what the diagnosis and the sensors cost.
Yeah. Right.
Tell him to hit it with the hammer.
This is also a guy who replaced my fuel pump 2 weeks ago, and it turns out we just had a corroded battery. So,
well, see, he's trying to save money.
Well, that's good.
But in the long run, for example, he went ahead and he said he put new brake pads on, right?
Right.
Well, you probably didn't need those either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this isn't saving us money at all.
Tell him to go out and build somebody a porch.
Right.
And spend the money then to fix the car. See you, Maria.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time for the oil, lube, and hot mulled cider special at the garage?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see just how much trouble a person can get into by following our advice.
So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Murray Berkowitz from New Jersey. Remember Murray?
I absolutely do. Who could forget Murray? I did actually forget him. Who is he?
Well, Murray called because his daughter's Jetta had prematurely croaked itself.
She's coming back to New Jersey from Baltimore on the turnpike, and the car shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
I get it towed. The dealer tells me the head is seized, and the valves are bent, and all of this. It's going to may need a new motor. It's $4,000, and now it's still under the warranty. And he's implying that because I didn't have the oil changed at a dealer every single time I had the oil changed, that maybe it's going to cost me $4,000.
Wait a minute.
So I can see I'm getting set up. He's busting my chops. I know this is going to be a problem.
Do you have receipts for the oil changes?
In fact, I do.
Yeah, well, Volkswagen then has no recourse here. They're done for.
All right, well,
and if you want my brother to come down there and testify in court.
You know, if you need some muscle, Murray, I mean, you know, we have people in New Jersey, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah. Which is why I called you in the first place.
And no two-bit VW dealer is going to bust your chops. Somehow, I don't see anyone busting Murray's chops.
So what did we tell him to do? Swing by, pick up Paulie Walnuts, and suggest that dealers stop whining and cough up a new engine?
They absolutely owed him an engine, in my estimation.
Oh, Murray, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Look, before we find out what happened, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's absolutely correct.
And is it also true that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by the first four seasons DVD set of The Sopranos?
And that's also absolutely correct.
So tell us, did VW stop busting your chops?
Yes, they did.
Hey!
Well, what did they do?
Here's what happened. Once I was fully prepared with the information you guys had provided me, I went back down to the dealership and brought my records, and they were hesitant. They were hesitant to go along with it. They put me into a stall, you know.
Yeah.
But then I was holding my ace card close to the vest, so I told them, "Listen, I know that this is right because if Volkswagen insisted that I use them to change the oil, it would have been a big sign under the hood that said, do not let anybody else change the oil, because that was the specific advice you guys gave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with that, I saw I was inching them closer to my position, and then I laid out.
That's when you took out the baseball bat,
well,
right?
Just as good. Then I laid out my last card. I said, let me ask you this. Have you guys ever heard of Car Talk? And once I said that, I saw a bunch of light bulbs go off, and it was clear.
And did they all start laughing?
Well, after they stopped laughing, it was clear that they knew that I was armed with the goods.
Oh.
And they folded like a house of cards.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
The power.
It must have been beautiful to watch, Murray.
So, look, as a result of the good advice I got from you guys.
You'd like to send us what?
I'm going to send you my best wishes for a happy holiday season. That's all you're going to get out of me.
I knew we shouldn't have helped him. In grace.
Murray, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, listen, fellas, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate it. I'm sure other people do
well.
I'm
glad it worked out, and I'm glad you didn't have to use any additional muscle.
No, I was prepared to go all the way, but once I laid that copy on them, they folded.
So, hey, tell us this. Has your daughter ruined this engine yet?
Or my daughter's not allowed to drive the car.
Smart move. You're a smart guy, Murray. Well, look, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Thanks for your help, fellas. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. All right, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, like Murray, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and probably stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Owen from Baltimore.
Ellen?
Owen, like a boy.
Oh, Owen.
Yep.
Like Owen Wilson.
Like Owen Wilson.
Yeah, so how'd you wind up with a name like Owen?
It's a family name. It was my mom's favorite uncle.
Uncle Owen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be Uncle Owen, too, when your sister has kids.
Maybe I'll be Aunt Owen. I would prefer that, I think.
It could have been Uncle Hector, and that would have been a lot,
that would have been a lot worse.
So what's going on?
Well, my boyfriend lives in D.C., and he likes to practice what I call creative parking. And I'm just wondering if he might be killing his tires this way, because on occasion, he'll end up with three of his tires on the street and one of his tires on the curb. It'll be like halfway on the curb and halfway hanging out in outer space.
Oh.
And I always thought that major tire more likely to have a blowout or get a flat or something, but he seems to think that I'm just being annoying.
Also, he will leave it parked overnight with the curb having dug into the tire.
Not overnight, but like for dinner and, you know, to go out for a little bit.
But for hours at a time.
For hours at a time, yeah.
So the curb is impinging on the tire.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, I think whether it's the bottom or the side, I think there's a risk of doing tread damage to the tire.
I do too.
What is tread damage?
Well, you could cause tread separation, which eventually leads to tire squirm. So as you drive down the road, you ever have a pair of sneakers that squeaked when you walked because the layers of rubber are rubbing against each other?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's going to happen to your tire.
That's what tread separation is.
So he needs to be a little bit less creative, is what you're saying.
I think he needs a dope slap every now and
then. Can I tell him you said that?
Yes. Now, I will say that I've done the same thing myself, usually with my brother's car when I'm parking it.
Luckily, I don't have a car.
I try to refrain from doing it with my own. I mean, if you did it once in a blue moon, it probably is not going to hurt your tire significantly.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's probably bad.
That's kind of what I thought.
I mean, I don't have any hard data here. We may get some letters from the tire industry saying, oh, no, that's okay. But if we do, we'll certainly...
It doesn't seem okay, though. It doesn't seem okay.
That was my opinion, too.
Yeah.
He thought that I was just being a little bit over-compassionate to the car.
Yeah. No, tell him you're not.
Maybe he's thinking that it's making the tires tougher.
Yeah, sure.
No. He just doesn't want to find a bigger spot to park in.
Yeah. So he just zonks it into whatever spot, and if it winds up that way, it winds up that way.
It's amazing what he can get.
Yeah.
It's a Saturn view, so it's not a little car, but you should see the spaces he can get into. I feel bad for all the people he touch parks.
Yeah, and the problem is that he parks everybody in, so it's going to take its toll on your bumpers, too.
Well, he lives in the city. That's kind of expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well just give it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, tell him to stop doing it, we think.
Okay.
See you, Owen.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, it's that point in the show again.
Is this when the knife-wielding Japanese chef bursts into the studio with a hibachi grill and he cooks us up some sizzling beef yakitori?
No, would you settle for Bugsy with a penknife and some turkey jerky?
Sure, why not? We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more lousy car advice in just a minute. So please stay tuned.
I drive a Japanese car. I drive a Japanese car and it gets me pretty far. Yeah, I drive a Japanese car and I hope I get out of this city alive.
I drive a German car. I drive a German car, and it does what it wants to do. I drive a German car, and I hope it goes where I want to go. I drive a Swedish car, woohoo! I drive a Swedish car, and it's not as much fun as you might think. I drive a Swedish car, and I hope I get out of the backseat alive.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can
I promise this was automotive in nature, but not so technical that the average person doesn't have a shot at.
And yeah.
This was the inspiration for this was sent in by someone who regrettably has been lost. His name has been lost. So if that person catches me, we'll send them a $26 gift certificate. Anyway, here it is.
You're going to get 500 people. I sent you that.
Yeah. Whoops. Yeah, my cost is $20,000.
Yeah. Okay, good luck.
I may be sandbagging here, so be careful.
Okay.
There was a bank robbery yesterday morning in Springfield. Several onlookers saw the red Mustang speeding away from the scene of the crime, but interestingly, nobody got the plate number, even though the driver had a near collision with like a tanker truck and had to slam on the brakes on several occasions to avoid injuring innocent pedestrians. Anyway, the Springfield police notified the authorities in the surrounding towns, hoping to catch a lucky break, you know, as they do. You know?
Yeah.
The next morning, the police in a neighboring town thought they had a likely suspect. This suspect, who we'll call Bill, they remembered, had a late model Mustang that could easily have been the getaway car. And yeah, because Bill had a few scrapes with the law, they decided to pay him a visit.
Yeah.
So the police showed up with a search warrant and explained the reason for their visit.
They can't get a search warrant under those circumstances.
Well, no, they had a phony one.
Don't you watch Law and Order?
They had a phony search warrant.
Oh, that's what they usually do. They get a Xerox copy of something of the one search warrant they got 10 years ago.
They just flash it. Yeah, we're a search warrant. No one ever asks to see it. Because everyone's saying, oh, jeez. Anyway, Bill was shocked and angered and denied any involvement whatsoever. Look, he said, I've been sick for about a week, and neither the car nor I has left the premises. Show us the car, they demanded, which, you know, after flashing the search warrant again.
Yeah.
He led them to the garage where he kept it, and there it sat, a beautiful, practically new red Mustang, perfect paint job, 18-inch alloy wheels, leopard skin seat covers, the whole bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two policemen trained their flashlights on the car as each one of them kind of walked around it looking for evidence. Finally, one of the officers said, this car's clean.
Yeah.
It wasn't involved in any robbery.
Yeah.
I know that it's been sitting here for days.
Mm.
What did he see that clears Bill and his car? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ken from Lamar's, Iowa. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Ken.
What's up?
Well, I've got a 1988 Honda Civic. It's got about 260,000 miles on.
Wow.
And my problem is, when the temperature is warm outside, and I get in the car, drive it for a short distance, like around town, for example, run some errands, and shut it off. And then just 10 minutes later or so, if I want to get back in the car and start it up, it won't start. It turns over fine, but it just won't start.
It cranks. Wah, 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 but it won't fire up.
Exactly. My mechanic has we've been working on this problem for a good year or so, and we've tried pretty much every possible explanation that we could think of.
Has he bought a new boat in this year?
Not yet.
There's no water in Lamar's.
There is some water.
Yeah. There is.
Oh, there's Lake Lamar's, man.
There you go. Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't know. I've put in a different alternator, distributor, ignition module, ignition switch. He's pretty much at a loss as far as what to try next.
Well, we were too when we first encountered this.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm going to guess it's the same problem.
Okay.
And if you tell me that he's already replaced this, then we're going to be dead in the water.
Okay, well.
But we found, and we've seen this in both Civics and Accords.
Okay.
That the reason the car cranks and doesn't fire up is that, in fact, it's not getting fuel. And what's preventing it from getting fuel is a faulty fuel pump relay, which is located under the dash.
Fuel pump relay.
And the fuel pump relay is susceptible to hot weather failure.
Really?
So when the car is locked up, you know, it can be 15 minutes. You could go, you stop in the morning, it's fine.
Yep.
You drive the thing, you park in the sun.
Yes.
You know, you come back a half hour or an hour later, the inside of that passenger compartment is 125 degrees. You get in, you sit down on the seat, you go, ooh, ah!
Right.
You turn the key and it goes, wah, 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 and it doesn't fire up because the fuel pump relay doesn't close. And when it doesn't close, the fuel pump doesn't run. And if that doesn't run, you get no fuel to the injectors.
Sure.
So a new fuel pump relay, it's up under the dash.
Okay.
And you can do this yourself, Ken.
Really?
Yeah, here's what you do. You're going to go to the Honda dealer. You give them your VIN.
Okay.
Tell them you want a fuel pump relay. They're going to give you a new one. Well, they're going to sell you a new one.
Sure.
And with the new one in your hand and your head firmly wedged under the dashboard, you're going to try to find something under there that looks like what you're holding in your hand.
Okay.
And when you do, do the swap, and you'll be all set.
Wow, that sounds great.
And tell your guy I'm sorry he's not going to get his boat this year, but he'll have to work on someone else.
Well, maybe next time.
Huh? All right. See you, Ken.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. All right. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Katie from South Deerfield, Massachusetts.
South Deerfield. I knew that, too.
Deerfield.
Because I've heard of Deerfield.
Really?
And that's like way out west, like near Texas.
Not quite that far.
No, no, it's near Tennessee.
But it's near near what?
Like near Williamstown? Near Deerfield Academy.
Is it near? Yes. Is it near Williamstown?
No, we're about an hour east of Williamstown, on the other side of the mountains.
There are mountains?
The Rockies.
Well, yeah, small hills.
The Rockies?
Yeah, it's on this side of the continental divide.
So you're like near Denver.
More like Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay. I have no clue about the geography of this country. You know, it doesn't really matter.
No,
as long as there's AAA and triptychs, they will tell me that
triple
I'm
A,
not
triple
in Lincoln.
B, whatever it takes. I mean, you'll get you there.
Whatever it takes. So why did I spend so many years in grammar school learning where the states were and what their capitals were? I don't care.
Well, you know why? Because you never know when you're going to be called upon to be a Jeopardy contestant. I mean, it could just happen just like that.
It could happen.
You could be in one of those Jeopardy talent searches, and the next thing you know, and wouldn't it be an embarrassment?
Yeah, well, it would be to think that Lincoln, Nebraska was next to Deerfield, Massachusetts.
It would be. It would be. Anyway, Katie, it's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you.
So what's up?
Well, I'm calling with a question about a piece of information that I was given. Mm. And I'm a little embarrassed because the person who gave me this piece of information is actually standing outside of the door of the room that I'm sitting in right now.
Oh, really?
I haven't told him that I'm calling, so I may be getting myself in trouble right now.
Let's not tell him.
We'll make it quick.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm in an outdoor leadership program, and one of our days in school, we were talking about gear and about stoves and about different kinds of fuel you can use for stoves. And I have a camp stove that uses white gas.
Yes.
And I've had this stove and some gas for it for many years, like, I don't know, 4 years or something, and I can no longer use it in the stove because it's too old. One of my instructors told me that, who's standing outside the door, that told me that I didn't want to throw the fuel away, and he said, well, you can just pour it into your gas tank and of your car.
If it's not good enough for your crummy stove, you're going to put it in your $20,000 car?
Well,
you get the idea, though.
Yeah, I get the idea. That was what he told me. Now, I have to tell you, I talked to my father about this, and he told me to make sure to tell you that he said that I could go ahead and pour it into the tank of the car as long as I had a lot of marshmallows handy and ready to go when the car blew up.
Well, great.
But now, that's my question. I don't know if I mean, I don't want to ruin my car.
Why has this this fuel, which is not gasoline, really, it's camp stove fuel.
Well,
comes out of the ground like
no. It does. It's a little higher up with the distillation.
There's a diesel, there's 89 octane, and there's
camp stove
fuel.
But this comes in a container, if I'm not mistaken, sold
by... Is it above whale blubber or below?
This comes in a container sold by somebody like Coleman.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It says camp stove fuel. And it's also the same fuel you'd use in your Coleman lantern.
No.
Because,
no, Coleman lanterns, well, the ones I know, they use propane, which is like a pressurized fuel. And this is white gas, which is unpressurized. And it's just like a really clean burning fuel.
Well, that's what this stuff is, too. The Coleman lantern that I have uses a liquid fuel that enforces that fuel onto a gas mantle. A little cloth thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and you accomplish that. And the reason you have to pressurize it is that the mantle's above the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then it won't go uphill unless it goes up under pressure.
You got a little pump.
So you pump the thing. So this thing, however, works by gravity. But it's
the stove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. But
so it's the same.
But it's still a different kind of fuel.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I think it's the same stuff. I mean, they wouldn't make two different. What a pain in the butt that would be.
Well,
are you gonna have pack mules carrying this stuff in for you?
This conversation bears a striking resemblance to the call we got about the cattle car and the
electric
brakes.
I understand that, but I do have some small experience in this matter.
In camping?
Yes.
You have experience in camping?
I have experience.
Just because you walk through the Mule Woods once,
I do own one of these Coleman lanterns for hurricanes and other such disasters.
Of course.
And I have this container that Katie has. Okay, with the same fuel, I believe, that you would use in either your lantern or the stove. I think it's the same stuff. And it can also be substituted with white gas.
Okay, that's what I have, white gas.
The only reason I bring this up is I have had the same can of this stuff in my garage for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. And every time there's a hurricane...
Fire it up?
I open the can, I fill up the Coleman lantern, I replace the two little mantles... And the thing works like a dream. And I've never...
So you're telling her that her instructor basically...
Is what?
I'm trying to find a delicate way to say this.
And the only reason I haven't thrown this stuff away and replaced it is it seems to work all the time, number one. Number two, I wouldn't know where to throw it if I were going to throw it. And I certainly wouldn't throw it in my gas tank.
Of your car?
Of anyone's car.
Okay. So you don't think that I should pour this old gas into
Well, I
car?
Mean, why not just do an experiment? Find out if this guy is correct.
Car?
No, on a lantern and on a stove.
I don't want to destroy my stove either.
You're not going to destroy the stove.
No, the worst thing you can do
happened?
Is plug up the little orifice through which the gas comes.
Yeah.
I think you just try it out and say, by the way, Mr. whatever your name is, Mr. Rogers or Mr. Smokey the Bear. I think you get your head up your keister on this white gas issue.
I really trust his opinion on the camping stuff, though.
You may not be justified in trusting him about anything.
Well, let me tell you that this is how it starts. My wife used to trust me on everything. They catch you once or twice.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Well, I should ask him if he's done this with his car, because I don't know.
Well, pour it in his tank.
That's what I'll do.
The real question is the stuff any good at all? And I think you should try it. You got to try it. Do both things. You got to put some of it in the stove and light it up, see if it works.
Well, we happen
and
to
gotta
have
put the rest in his tank.
We happen to have in our presence Mr. Doug Mayer, who just narrowly escaped passing through the digestive system of a wolf after taking a long trek. Where did you go
he
from?
He walked from Boston to Canada.
Yeah, he took the long trail in Vermont. If you're familiar with this, this goes from someplace in Vermont, which we don't really know the name of, to someplace in Canada, which has no name, and back. But during this time, I mean, he's had a million times more camping experience than any of us has had.
Okay.
And he has used these stoves, and his opinion is...
What is your opinion,
Mayor?
His opinion is...
He's rendering an opinion now. He says the stuff lasts forever.
Really?
Yeah, worst that happens, he said, is you have to clean the stove.
And that's not so bad.
If anything, I would certainly risk the stove and not my car.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, and I certainly wouldn't put it in my car. So I would say stick with the stove. And like I said, I've had the same can of this stuff for forever.
Mm-hmm.
And every time there's a power failure, I fire up my Coleman lantern. Why do I fire up my Coleman lantern?
Especially since you just bought that generator.
Well.
Do you use white gas in the generator? No, you use Sunoco, don't you?
The generator won't start.
The gas gets old, you know. Leave the same gas in there all the time.
No.
Plugs up all those jets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, Katie, it's been charming.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
Oh, God. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor.
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready for this.
Just back from the Worcestershire, jambalaya, fresh papaya, codfish pie, stolichnaya, mesquite fire, frequent fryer, a la playa, is John Putzy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha DeMerchandise. Our staff urologist is Pete Chadil. Our repo agent is Carmine Now. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the college students wearing down vests and flip-flops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother Tommy.
Hey, don't drive like my brother Tommy.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1043, traipse through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, 10 features every single new car should have.
Yeah, like a Car Talk filter.
That would be very popular.
No, this is a list of things that we'd like to see every new car have. Now, some exist now, like blind spot monitoring and stability control, and some don't exist yet, like the I'm sorry button.
I'm sorry? For what?
Well, when you do something stupid, like cut somebody off, you can hit your sorry button, and that'll indicate to the other driver that you know it's your fault, and it'll diffuse maybe an otherwise nasty situation.
But I think I'll miss having all those people yell and scream at me and call me a moron.
Oh, don't worry. You'll still get plenty of that at home. Check out the 10 features that we'd like to see on every new car all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though all the creamers in the NPR fridge simultaneously curdle whenever we say it, this is NPR.